Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I'm Brina Garin, and you're listening to Hex Positive.
Okay, I'll prepare yourself for a lozzy cackle.
Hello, everybody.
So we have the two wonderful folks. Oh, I say wonderful. Chaotic might be a better description, but we love you both, of course. Are you offended, Lozzy? Is it inaccurate? No. Okay.
So I was pretending to be offended.
No, but...
fair enough. So we have the wonderful Bree Nagaran and Lozzy Stardust, and this is a live recording of the Stardust Sessions from Bree Nagaran's wonderful podcast, Hex Positive. Take it away, folks.
Should I do the standard intro?
Yeah.
All right, just because everyone seems to love it. Welcome, witches. This is a live session of the Stardust Sessions. I'm Bree Nagaran, and joining me today, live here at Crit Witch Con, the Critical Thinking Witch Collective Convention, is my favorite chaotic goose witch. My favorite horrible goose, Lozzy Stardust. How are you, Lozzy?
Honk! I'm honkingly fabulous. I have to honk, yeah. So I've gone full
honks for joy.
Yes, honks for joys. Yes, I'm very excited. It's yes.
Oh. Yes, podcast voice engage.
Yes, yeah. All of a sudden, I'm just like, oh yes, I can speak words. Fantastic, or fantastic, indeed. I should say. Indeed, yes. It's just like yes, rather than my what are you chatting about, mate? Is my vernacular saying
Stardust Sessions, in it?
Stardust Sessions, in it? Got to get that in at least once. So
exactly.
What are we talking about?
So for those who can see and for those who can't, Lozzy busted out her very, very gorgeous flower crown fancy hat today. So I had to join her with my market hat, which has fairy lights. So we are fancy today. And we are joining you for this very special session to talk about some of the ways that pop culture and modern witchcraft intersect, how they interact, how they speak with each other, and how that influences our practices. Lozzums, would you like to begin?
Yes, so I'm wearing my off the shoulder what I like to call my nanny og dress. I've specifically worn it for today. It is a little bit boobalicious, so I didn't realize quite with the cam how much everybody was getting, but you know, that'll be for my OnlyFans later, that's fine. But yes, nanny og, oh, yes. Did turn around and say an off the shoulder dress did the trick most of the time. I remember Granny then saying, right off the shoulder and onto the grass. And I was just like, oof, savage, when I was a teenager. But, you know, yeah, it's just, I spent so much of my time when I was younger, when I was reading Pratchett, going, right, that's it. I'm going to be Granny Weatherwax. I'm going to be Granny Weatherwax. I am, you know, I'm going to have the sharp skills. And then the more I started talking and developing as a person, I realized actually I'm more of a nanny og. I do enjoy a beverage. I've seen a couple of people saying that they're McGrats, and I'm just like, I think I'm a nanny og, but I think I'm actually secretly a McGrat because I've got all my like occult jewelry, and you think yeah. So I'm hopefully phasing into nanny og eventually, but I don't have red boots, but I do have red Converse. So I thought I'd had to add the to the bi, you know, the bisexual like trifecta of at least wearing Converse to a fancy occasion. So yeah. But yeah, which I think
Absolutely. I mean, make it your own.
Yeah.
Make it your own. My husband does insist that I'm either a young nanny Og or I'm going to be her when I grow up. And I honestly really, really hope so. Because goals. So
yep.
I guess we can start with Pratchett. I mean, I've said it before and I will say it again. Bless you, Sir Terry, GNU Terry Pratchett. We love you, we miss you. And he understood witches and magic in a way that I think few other authors did or do. There's just so much in the philosophy that is discussed in Discworld Magic and among the witches and the things they talk about, shambles for crying out loud. Just so much of it makes sense in an intuitive way that I don't think I've seen in very many other places than Discworld. And I mean, I have at least five at least five Pratchett quotes in my witchy inspo journal for that very reason.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he truly, he got it in a very respectful way. Like he got it in a very respectful way, especially when it was witches abroad. And, you know, these were written in the 80s, so they were a product of its time. So there are a couple of things I'm just like, you know, looking back and I'm like, oh, maybe that didn't age as well as we'd think. But actually, a lot of the work, I really liked the work that he did around actually including, spoilers, if anyone's read it, the Baron, rather than making it a very typical way that it could have gone, like Pirates of the Caribbean-esque kind of way. So that was really, yeah, that was really interesting. I think, I mean, I use it all the time, but an argument of witches, like, I mean, he was never collective now group of witches. He's accidentally like, yeah, it's just like, I mean, community stuff is very different, but you will encounter different opinions and stuff in different spaces. And it's just absolutely, I think also there's a level of, at least in my practice, a lot of headology. Because I do see it as a little bit of spicy psychology. And, you know, I love the bit where Granny's just like, well, I didn't actually turn him into a frog. He just really thought he was a frog. And I was like, yeah, Granny, like, absolutely get it.
Oh, she's the best. I've gotten a lot of inspiration from the Tiffany Aching series, particularly the quote about, you know, the queen had said, you know, all witches are selfish. Well, then make selfishness a weapon, make everything yours, you know, protect everyone. This is my home, my family, my world. And how dare you threaten it? Because I have a duty to protect it. And I'm like, yes, that. And also just all the bits about the third thoughts really, really resonate with me. And not just on a magical level, but sort of on a personal growth level. To kick it back to that lovely panel we had just a little while ago. So often we have our first thoughts, which is sort of the things we've been raised with. We have our second thoughts, which is ourselves correcting that consciously. And then our third thoughts going, well, hang on a minute, let's analyze that and let's take it a step further and see what we can learn from it. And I adore that just the third thoughts being that little bit of insight and intuition that you can hang on to, and things that you definitely should, you know, listen to. So definitely always listen to your third thoughts and your second thoughts, because they're important too. And don't beat yourself up too much for your first thought.
I was just about
you. We're all raised with stuff we have to outgrow.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, and I always on the rare occasion when someone's like, well, if you were going to recommend someone get into pop culture witchery or like some aspect of pop culture that you really love, as it refers to magic, I'm always like Pratchett. Yep. Go and read The Witches. Yeah. And I just recommend them anyway, because they're good damn books. Yeah. But you can also get an interesting perspective on magic from reading them. And actually, yeah. Speaking of books we read that influenced our perspective on magic, Patricia C. Reed's Dealing with Dragons series.
Ooh.
The Enchanted Forest Chronicles. If you haven't read it, ooh, do. It's wonderful. Magic in that series is described as a series of skeins and threads that encompasses the world. I read that when I was maybe 8 or 9 years old, and to this day, like, that is how I picture magic. That is how I picture magic working. Skeins, threads, webs everywhere.
Just have my mind and blown.
Yes, definitely. Just start a list. Just start a list. But yes, they're wonderful fantasy books to begin with. But the way they discuss magical mechanics just sings, and I love them. Lozzie, do you have another favorite besides Pratchett?
Oh, that's really difficult. I really liked the Garth Nix, Sabriel, Liriel, etc. Growing up, and it really, the way it looked at that alternative version of yourself, as well as like the runes and that being part of like, you know, the way that the magic activates and stuff. I really liked how in the books that there was like a bit of a selfish streak to them, and the fact that that was explored in a nice way, because we are human beings. We aren't all going to be like, you know, we don't pop out being Glenda the good witch. You know, it's not all like shiny light and stuff like that. And there is definitely an aspect to it. And that kind of links me back to kind of Charmed and stuff, but I am going to keep on this thread and not go off on another one. You know, that kind of
yet.
Only a matter of time. But it's, yeah, so I found that really interesting to read about character development that wasn't instantly just like, I'm a good witch TM. Yes, yeah, it was, yes. Yeah, so that was, and I like the way the magic was built up. So even though it wasn't about witchcraft per se, I really like the way that the magic was dealt and how the character development went.
Mm-hmm. I especially remember really being enamored of the Bandolier of Belts. Of bells, rather, that Sabriel carries in one of the books, the eponymous book. I remember reading that in college and just being like, I want to do that. I want magical bells. I want a bandolier of magical musical instruments. So imagine my joy when I found out that altar bells were a thing, and I'm like, I'm doing it. And no one can stop me.
Yep. It's all about that inspiration. It's all about taking that inspiration. And I think there's a lot of us who, as part of trying to authenticate your craft, or at least I found this is just like personal experience. I can't say that this is like fact or anything. But personal experiences, you kind of, or at least I went through phases of going, oh, this is fun. And then, oh, I'm like, so super serial witch right now, like if I don't like, you know, set my altar up in this specific way. And I'm just like, oh, you know, how dare people like try and like infuse pop culture into their craft, like don't you even know who Gerald Gardner is, bro? Like, oh. And then luckily I grew out of that very rapidly, and I'm just like, you know what, just take your inspiration. If watching Sabrina the Teenage Witch or the new Chilling Adventures of Sabrina like inspires you to be like, right, I'm going to do some magic, or I'm going to do some stuff, then fucking go for it. Don't let the the oh, my train of thought, it's derailed. Oh no, it's left the station. It's gone. Choo choo, mother truckers. Yep. Sorry, guys.
Bring it back. I think I know what you're saying, though. There's sort of this, like, sort of a bit of a, almost a stigma, I guess.
Yes,
maybe
that's it.
On social media, where it's like, oh, you only came into it because of this. It's like, which, please, do you know how many of us are here because of the craft?
Yes.
It yes, doesn't exactly. matter. It doesn't matter how you got here. It just matters that you're here. And I mean, my illustrious senpai, Trey Dorn, has said it on more than one occasion, you know, witchcraft is like any other interest or activity. You know, sure, maybe half the people who get into it aren't going to stick with it, but that's like any interest. That's like anyone who tries a new thing. You know, some people are going to try it and be like, oh, well, maybe this is interesting for a little while, or not for me. And then some people are going to get into it and be like, I have been looking for this my entire freaking life. And then that is a community and a personal fulfillment and a sense of personal empowerment that, you know, I think everyone should find, however they choose to find it, you know, because everyone deserves to feel seen and everyone deserves to feel fulfilled, as long as it's not, you know, at the expense of someone else's health or safety. But, you know, and if you came to that because you watched a movie or saw a TV show or a cartoon or a Halloween decoration, who the hell cares? The point is that you're here. The point is that you're here. The point is that you found a place that resonates with you, that, you know, you found a community that makes you feel good about yourself. So, I mean, I honestly don't see the point of shaming anyone for their origins, because everybody's got an origin. Everybody starts somewhere. You know, it's not where you begin. It's where you go. It's what you do with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think there was that super serious like stuff in the 90s where, you know, going on to, I'm going to talk about Charmed now. I did say, well, I kept but, you know, it was that whole kind of, you know.
Oh, I've like been waiting. Bring it.
Rule of three and love and lie. And, you know, and I understand that there was a certain level of having to market like that because of the, like, the leftover satanic panic and stuff like that. But it was just that, oh man, watching back, I'm just like, I can't. And, you know, there's me just being like, don't be ashamed of how you came to the craft. And then also at the same time, I'm just like, yeah, I came to the craft via the craft, the film, but also at the same time, like, oh, there were some issues, like, oh, like, yeah. And you've got to make it for TV. You've got to make it for TV. And every time, you know, my mom was actually really interestingly watching a TV show called JAG, and I don't know if anyone else has watched it. It's Judge Advocate General. It was a 90s TV show, and they did one on Wiccans. And there was an episode on Wiccans, and I sat there the entire time with my face just like it was, sorry.
Oh, hi,
sorry for people who are listening. My face is a lemon. Like, it's like, I was like, that's not how they dealt with it. And then, yeah, now my partner's like, I don't know how to tell you this. It's TV. Like, I could just see, bless him. So yes, it's like the CSI furry episode all over again. That episode is my CSI furry episode. I watched it and I was like, and it was dealt with really delicately, and it really did highlight witchcraft in the military, and it wasn't just like a it wasn't, you know, it is essentially a crime show, so there was going to be a crime going on, and it didn't blame Wicca for that. But I just, yeah, at the same time I was like, and I got excited because I was like, oh my god, this is like a snapshot of what was really happening as well. So I think a lot of modern witchcraft pop culture reflects what was done in history, and now hopefully the pop culture is now becoming part of our history as well. So I'm hoping there's a massive like loop. Oh my God. Sorry. Somebody it's just true. Mentioned 2000s Angel Fire websites. Sorry. I'll
just... Oh, the old Angel Fire and GeoCities sites. Oh my giddy aunt. Yeah. Oh, there's Penny. Hi, Penny.
Oh man. Yeah. I've now, as someone typed that in the chat, I've now got that. Do you remember those weird little angel things, pixel angel things that you could like make? Like avatar things, and you'd put on your page and it'd just be like, oh mate, like I can't. I think I was Dark Angel
the sprites,
Girl,
yeah,
mm-hmm. 87 or whatever for
and the they were crosses. All like
I can't fully replicate it because gravity is not on my side, but it's just yes. Thank and we're quite lucky
we all published some embarrassing things.
Yeah, I was about to say, we're quite lucky that the fact that, you know, a lot of us could, like, take some of that shit down, like that high school poetry. Oof, I think it's somewhere online, but I've not done. You know, we're quite lucky and we can escape that, but I just feel like, you know, witch talk, mate, that's out there. You ain't never gonna, yeah, we're quite lucky.
You know what? I'll tell you what, witch talk and, like, Witchstagram and, to an extent, witch blur these days, in 10 years, that's going to be the new, like, witchy Angel Fire in GeoCities. People are going to be looking back at some of the stuff that's on, you know, Witch Talk now and just be like, ooh, look how much we've grown.
Yes. Look how much our personal development has done. Because that's, yeah. Oh, MySpace. Oh, man.
And I mean, it's like y'all were saying earlier, it's like, yeah, if you look back at your past self and kind of go, oof, that's okay, because it means there's been growth, and yes. Growth is good.
Growth so, is
it's
good.
Okay.
Hi, growth is not just the carrot.
The camera. Yes. Penny. She has the zoomies.
Yes. Here, Mama, I understand that you're doing a panel and therefore shouldn't be distracted. Let me provide you with a distraction. Oh my God, broomies. Yes.
She heard I was on Zoom and went, Zoom?
Zoom? Zoom? This is...
Hey. Hi. Gremlin. Wow, I know. There you go.
Although, yeah. What really
messed
with me...
She has to say hello to everyone.
Yeah. What really messed with me the other day was when I started watching the Good Witch movies and I saw a few people who were like, yes, Jag, in the chat. And I was like, that's Mackenzie. So the person who plays one of the main characters in Jag is actually the witch in the Good Witch. And, oh, that's been interesting. I tried really hard to
I have to be nice because I know people like it, but oh. I have to be nice because I know there's lots of people who really, really love The Good Witch, but
yep.
I made it through like half a dozen episodes and went,
yep.
What is, oh wait, it's Hallmark, never mind.
Okay,
but again, yes, the hallmark of it all.
Yes,
ladies.
It is.
Exactly.
It is absolutely hallmark like trash.
Oh my Atlanta.
It's one of those things, yeah. I couldn't stop watching it. So I was starting watching.
Lozums, I think your mic has gone out, my love.
Oh no!
You're saying important things and I can't hear you. Oh no. Oh no. Technical difficulties.
Technical difficulties on my back. Can people hear me?
Lozzy's got
yes okay list. Yeah there we go, sorry, I'm being yeah
we yeah. Have Lozzy's audio, we may not have it may
I'm
be
hoping it's
audio.
Not my
we can hear you,
it's not my brain here.
I think we have technical difficulties.
I think it might be me. Give me just 2 seconds. I'm going to grab my plug. But Lozzy, please do ramble because folks can apparently hear you. You go ahead.
Cool. Yeah, I really liked so I just recently had a week off, and instead of tidying the house, as you can quite clearly see behind me, I thought what I would do is, because I knew that I was doing this witchcraft panel with Brie, and we were going to talk about pop culture, I thought I would do some really intense research about the Good Witch, because I really wanted, and I just couldn't stop. So I started watching the TV show, and I was like, I'm not understanding what the hell is happening here. And then I've started watching the movies. So now I've just finished The Good Witch's Charm Gift. I can't stop watching it. It's terrible. It's absolutely, and she doesn't actually do any witchcraft in it.
I know.
But I can't help but think it's a little bit like headology. She does a lot of headology. Like, she does a lot of people reaching their own conclusions, which I can get behind, even though there is just a butt ton of, you know, I'm lactose intolerant. I like cheese, but cheese doesn't like me. But it's like, yeah, there's a butt ton of cheese. But I was just like, yeah, if you can see past that, then it was quite. And it's nice to see things grow. But yeah, it's very Hallmark. It's very like, oh, yes, I am the perfect person. And I just, so I much preferred the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, because she's just like, you know what, I'm kind of not a good person, and that's okay. I much preferred mm-hmm. that. Although I was a little bit grumpy about the whole devil worship thing, but it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as a storytelling device, it made sense. But the Good Witch, I always felt the one thing about it that I will admit that I do like is that it's a lot like, in a way, what actual everyday witchcraft does kind of look like. It doesn't look like anything. It's boring. It is not screen worthy. It's not attention grabbing. It's just witches living their life, and then something magic happens, and we're like, so yeah. But I also prefer the new Sabrina, purely because, you know, I love me some good spooky stuff. Yes. You know, not always best pleased with all of their story all of their storytelling decisions, but again, it's entertainment.
Yeah.
And
I've also been trying to get into like witchcraft documentaries, and they've been like, that's been a whirlwind.
Interesting.
Yes, because you can.
Penny agrees.
You can get some ones that are really like insightful, and people are genuinely like interested, and they're genuinely, mm-hmm. you know, they might not believe it, but they're genuinely happy. Whereas you just, there are some people who just absolutely like go maximal sensationalism, like, look at all these naked people in the woods, and you're like, mate, it's not all about the nakedness. Like, yeah. I mean, I'm blaming Gerald Gardner for that one, to be fair. Like, I know he liked to be naked, but he just didn't need to share it with everybody. Like, yep. It's just...
Jerry, put some pants on. Never.
It's Gerald, nobody wants to see this. Someone who grew up 15 to 20 minutes away from that coven, it was yes, mosquitoes.
Yes, Anna, exactly. Mosquitoes in Penny. Oh my goodness. I'm sorry. She like literally has the zooms. You're upsetting the thing. Yes, yeah, she is also upset about Gerald Gardner's lack of pants.
Just every cat everywhere's like,
but yes,
no.
even the more sort of like, let's just say it, more of the schlock type documentaries that are clearly just done like for seasonal funsies, I still enjoy those too. You know, just because they're fun, and you know, I occasionally will sit and play a drinking game. with all of the, you know, the Halloween witch stuff, or the, you know, the seasonal ghost stories, like the historical haunting stuff. And, you know, I just kind of sit there and like, no.
I've never done that because I feel I would be absolutely like wankered in about 2.5 seconds flat, because I'd just be like, right, okay.
Well, I mean, that is the,
we're going home.
That is the problem with the game, but I mean, if you're looking to get absolutely schnockered, it goes quick. So I mean, don't do it with hard liquor. Definitely do it with, you know, something that you can sip. You know, this is not something to do shots to. We don't need alcohol poisoning.
Yes, I was about to say. Yeah,
or if you're playing it with non-alcohol stuff, we don't need to be running to the bathroom every 5 seconds.
Yep. Something like, yep, like wine coolers, like, yeah, spritzes, stuff like that. Oh my God, maple syrup. I mean, that's a magic ingredient in itself, but.
Oh my God, yeah. Yes. Absolutely. Tree juice, yum. Absolutely. Yes, please.
Yep. Oh man. I haven't seen American Horror Story.
How are we doing on time, moderators?
Oh, sorry, mods.
Ugh.
I have until 20 past.
We're doing all right.
Okay, cool. You know what I haven't seen? American Horror Story Coven. I haven't actually seen that.
Really?
No, which is very bizarre because I love me some pop culture witchcrafty shit.
Do it. Stevie Nicks was in it and she was amazing. It's sort of along the same lines as the new Sabrina, in that it does incorporate like some actual aspects of modern witchcraft, but in a very fantastical way that it's just like, that is not how any of this works, but damn, this is good TV.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's just wonderful. And it has so much Stevie Nicks and Fleetwood Mac music, and Stevie makes a cameo appearance, and
oh my God, I mean, I need to watch.
I like American Horror Story. I sort of like pick and choose my seasons, but Coven is still my fave. that's my guilty pleasure.
I like that. I'm gonna have to get into that now. I'm just like, right, what have I left the con with? A good self, you know, good self-confidence dose, information about ancestors, need to go watch some more TV. And I can be like, yes, that's part of my witchcraft practice, is I'm learning what witchcraft isn't by sat on my ass watching TV. So yeah, definitely.
It's true. It's both a lesson on what witchcraft and magic are and what they aren't, but that actually brings up an excellent point. What we can learn from watching modern depictions of witchcraft as compared to, you know, what they were 5, 10, 20 years ago or whatever, is how the mainstream view of witches has changed. And that is something that I find really low-key fascinating, because a lot of us started, like I said, with, you know, like the late 90s stuff with The Craft and Practical Magic and Buffy and Charmed. And like, that was our exposure to what pop culture and mainstream media thought of witches. And now, you know, compared to then, like that was still very sort of mired in the latter years of the Satanic Panic, which is unfortunately making a recurrence, if it ever really left. Exactly.
Toss them away.
Flurry of blows.
Flurry of blows. Oh, Jesus Christ. That's Dungeons and Dragons. And that links back to the Satanic Panic. I wasn't just being weird. There we go. Yep.
That's a callback to some of our outtakes. Flurry of blows. Yes. So, you know, looking at those depictions where it's very clear that they wanted to be focused on, you know, the very, very positive aspects and just sort of going, you know, no, everything is very love and light. We try and do good. We don't use it for selfish reasons. And then now you have, you know, exactly things like the Love Witch and Sabrina, where it's like, no, fuck it. I'm going to do magic for selfish reasons. What's the point of being a witch if you can't use it to get what you want? And it's like, yeah, I mean, that is sort of the freaking point. Get what you want, hex people who deserve it. Yes, get laid if that's what you want. Make your life better, make life better for people around you, you know, or don't, you know, do whatever. It is what you make of it. And I love, you know, sort of making that comparison and just being like, huh, okay. So it's almost like we don't have to hide as much anymore. Right. We don't have to pretend that everything is going to be, you know, lovely and play nice and squeaky clean. We can kind of go, no, here, warts and all.
Yep.
It is what it is.
Yep.
Love it or leave it.
Yep.
And please leave.
Yeah. If you don't like it, joggeth oneth. And I think there was a certain level of, for me, it was Wicked. Wicked did that. It was like, because it was the kind of the flip side of what if, you know, she's the wicked witch, but actually she has some bloody good points. And I think that was one of the first things that, like, I'm just like, listen to Defying Gravity in my car and my poor neighbors, because I'm just like belting it out on the way, because I'm just like, you know what, if that's what love costs, maybe I don't want it. And actually, I think as witches, we've always been othered. So you're always the wicked witch, or it's always you're the villain, or it's, or even when you're looking at like Charmed, like the love and light witches, it's, they are their own coven and they are their own pack. They don't integrate with other people. So it's really interesting that we're hopefully seeing the revival of this otherism or otheredness in a more positive light and kind of reclaiming it rather than just a, just, you know, we are the villains.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, witchcraft, isn't it?
You know, I really, yes, witchcraft has always been an act of transgression. Witchcraft has always been an act of rebellion, and it always will be.
Yeah.
And it is because witchcraft is the craft of the other and the othered. And yes. I think that it's really important to remember that and keep that in mind when we're looking at the community today and when we're, you know, sort of encountering those discussions of, well, what is a witch and, you know, who can be a witch and what makes witchcraft? It's anyone who feels the need for it. Yep. Anyone who wants to put their foot to the path, anyone who feels, you know, disenfranchised can be a witch, you know.
Absolutely.
Even if you don't necessarily, you know, anyone who feels like they're struggling and needs that feeling of empowerment, I think that is where we all start on a very basic level. Is the world around me is scary. I have no power in this very real world sphere.
Yeah.
But I have magic.
Yep. This mm-hmm. is how I can.
And even
control.
If that just works for you, it's something.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, I can't, like, you know, like with, oh, I'm not going to mention the B word with that has exit on it, or that man who has slightly orange tinge of face. But, you know, we can't. There are some things that are genuinely outside of our control. And I feel like actually witchcraft allows us to put some of that self-control back in. And I think that's what I really like about like witches in popular culture, is that, like you were saying earlier, Bree, like we are looking more at things like for doing things for ourselves, but empowerment and community, autonomy. Thank you, Lee. Those were the words I was looking for. Yep, absolutely. It's, yeah. You are your own magic. you can only do so much, you know. We can't all banish certain people into the depth of never, but what can we do about it? You know what, we can set up a food bank, or we can, you know, we can feed people, or we can try really hard. And I think that that's also really super important. And I think that that's perhaps something that needs to be explored more in fiction, is, or not fiction, in TV perhaps, because Pratchett does it a lot in fiction, but I think it needs to be explored more in TV about the being able to give, but also be selfish in that tightrope.
Mm-hmm. And just to wrap it up, because I know we're coming to the end here, magic and witchcraft, at their very most basic form, are one person's or one group of people's way of attempting to effect change, of attempting to make things work out the way they want. And I think that there is a magic in kindness. There is a magic in being there for each other. There is a magic in educating each other. And there is magic in our anger. There is magic in hope. There is magic in everything that we do to change the world around us. And we just have to make sure that when we're examining what we do with that energy, that, you know, we're putting it towards, I don't want to say the greater good, because that has implications, but we're moving it in a direction that's going to the greater good, that we're moving it in a direction that's going to be positive for ourselves and our community.
Absolutely, 100%. And I wish that sometimes TV would reflect that a little bit more, rather than just the sensationalist stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though the sensationalist stuff is kind of fun.
Oh, yeah. Like, not saying like, oh, God, yeah, nah, that's it. And it also, I think in a way, I don't want to go off on one again. It lets you explore when you ingest it in fiction. I'm going to do this super, super quickly. When you ingest it in fiction and you ingest it in TV and stuff, you're playing out that fantasy that you can't do in real life. So, you know, when the evil guy, you know, does finally get theirs at, you know, get their end, meet their end or whatever, I think there's that justice that you get to see played out on screen with that as well.
Yep. Very satisfying.
Beautiful. Ending on cackles is just perfect, especially as we're now in October. So yeah, absolutely wonderful. Thank you both so much for such a great, I mean, yeah, what can you call that, just a great experience.
Ramble.
Endless nodding, you know,
it's always a ramble.
So yeah, amazing stuff. Thank you so much both, that is brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for having us. This was so much fun. Yep. When they came to us and said, you know, do you two just want to do a live starter session? I was like, oh no, twist my arm. Yes.
Thank you. Okay. We are.
Hex Positive is a proud member of the Nerd and Tie Podcast Network. Check out everything they have to offer, including our sibling podcast, BS Free Witchcraft, over at nerdandtie.com. Intro and outro music by Kevin MacLeod. For all the latest updates, follow @hex_podcast on Twitter. You can also follow me at Brina Garin on Twitter and Instagram. For more information on my books, you can check out my WordPress and my Amazon author page. And if you'd like to support the show, please visit patreon.com/BrinaGarin. Stay safe, wash your hands, and remember, always practice safe hex.